This is times for prayer, these times for really praying communally, praying together as one human family. And you know, one of the good things about dangers and difficulties and distresses is that they really bring us together. I mean, they can, as a human family. And we've woken up shaken out of a kind of lassitude, out of a kind of mental laziness or habitual states. And we're recognized, we feel called upon to do something more, to live on a higher level and a more divine level, really, if that's our aspiration, and to also put into practice the things that we know will help, and also to seek more deeply. So I feel that about this time, which is, again, a delicate time for the world. And it's such an important time then for us rising beyond our limited boundaries that we create ourselves, or that really are not true boundaries, true necessity. And I'm happy to see us all gathered here on this evening. And we do have quite a nice amount of visitors. Welcome. And I thought it would be an opportunity for visitors to ask questions, if you like, because, you know, if you come for the first time into, I mean, some of you have come before, but into a community, you might have questions or ask bigger questions about the world or about life, or, I mean, who knows about the world, really? I mean, who knows anything, really, honestly? But that is the truth, and maybe that's a good, safe place to be if we all just admitted more that we don't really know. We don't know much. We really know very little. And we kind of project that little into a big screen, magnify it, and make it, you know, a system and a plan and an absolute knowing. So it's good to release. And in a place like this, we can actually admit we don't know. We can't usually say that out in the world, because you might lose your job, or you might fail your course, or you might, you know, make people confused. But in here is the place for saying this is a mystic space, and God, the Merciful One, provides mystic spaces for humanity to be really feel free. And of course, we still have to struggle to keep this mystic space open. So our teacher, Sheikh Noor Lexixon, called it open space, that state of absolute openness in the divine source and absolute being, absolute becoming, and unhindered by limited conceptions, limited programs and plans and fears even. So this is the open space, and each one of us is a bearer of that, and helps to provide it here together. So togetherness is very important. It actually occurred to me recently that we are moving from a model of individuality and, you know, egotism, or where each single one was highlighted, and where we had to accomplish our own unique and individual needs, desires, dreams, plans, and without losing that sense of uniqueness, But we are now moving into an age where we recognize that we cannot exist except if we exist communally. And that actually that is the truth of where we are. We are living communally, and so we might deny it, and that can bring a lot of grief and trouble. And this is true socially. It's true on many levels, even agriculture and planting, which, you know, is moving into another field of interdependency. And we are, as human beings, recognizing interdependency with the creation, with living systems of being, that we are part of a whole. This is a very, very important learning for us. That one, it makes us more humble, that we cannot just carry out our own plans on our own. And if we think a little, if we consider, contemplate, even to a small degree, we will see how dependent we are on each other, how utterly dependent we are, of course, on our source, on God, in the Merciful One, who provides every breath, every moment of life. So that is a continuum. And then we are also dependent on each other for surviving in this world, and also for, you know, happiness and fulfillment. So even we could say, well, I'm only dependent on God, but we realize that through another human being. Usually it takes a teacher or a master, or it takes a lineage of masters to even see that God is within us, or that God is present, or that God exists. So all of this is brought through humanity. Humanity becomes, if we really contemplate it, becomes like a living ocean of divine reality. And we must learn how to be in that ocean, how to exist and swim in that ocean, and in the most beautiful way. So how we must learn again how to be with each other, how to treat each other, how to value each other, how to speak to each other, how to learn together and find joy together, and how to be on a spiritual path together, and how to make business together, how to grow fields together, how to have babies together. All of this is the learning, really, for this coming time. And these sacred traditions are great resources for this. They are the resources, actually, for this kind of learning. And because we don't usually find that in our schools or in our businesses, you know, or out in the world so much. We find this through the sacred paths. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and upon all the prophets and mothers of the faithful, in our understanding, in as Sufis, was, you know, the great resource for what is called the divine way of living, for the holy way of living, for what makes us pleasing to God and what makes us pleasing to each other and pleasing to ourselves, actually. So we need to study that. That's what we really need to study in these days. You know, we've learned so much in so many ways, so much about nature, which is all serving and going to help the human family in great ways. And we've become astonished at the magnificence of the creation. And now we must, you know, turn our gaze really to look at the human form and what that is, that great mystery of the human form, and how that is completely interconnected with other human forms. So that's very much the Sufi path, really, that study. So would anyone like to answer, ask a question? You can answer a question if you want to. Yeah, about that. Or, I mean, I would say that's the reason we come here. the dervishes is it said, even in the path, it said you to know yourself, to know your Lord, you must know yourself. And of course, to know oneself, one must know one's Lord. It's a mutually interdependent formula, if we can call it a formula. So tonight we will plunge into praising our source and praising the essence of all through beautiful revealed names, divine names, which can also be perceived as vibrations, divine vibrations from the source. And we will chant them, and by chanting them, we are elevating our own vibration and elevating our own state into a state of unity, really, with God in our zikr. It's like a transformation that takes place, like a journey, a mystic journey, back into the source. So this is why it is the, I would say, vehicle. It's been the vehicle for Sufis since the beginning of Sufism, really, the zikr. Yeah.
You said something so beautiful. Camilla. That I'd like to make for a question.
What?
Usually it would be a question, but it's
going to be today.
Well, you said that to know yourself, you have to know your Lord, and to know your Lord, you have to know yourself.
Yes.
Do we need to make a choice about one Lord, or we can have some great spirit that's inspiring us?
Yes. Whatever is truly inspiring you is what is opening you and what is calling you, you know. So we follow that. We cannot help but follow really what inspires us, unless we are on the path of denial. And so it doesn't really matter so much the name which we use for it. So we can use a great spirit or... but one of the principles of this path is that ultimately we come to the realization of absolute unity, that there are not multiple lords, you know, even though we might see many aspects, but they all, their source all goes back to that one source of power and love, mm-hmm. at the heart of everything. But we can worship that source in different forms, with different faces. So yes, and if we follow truly what inspires us, we will come to the truth. You know, because each of us has that truth within us. And so that's the only place we're really going to find it. We can see it reflected in the mirror of another, in the mirror of the teacher, but finally to really be merged in the truth, it must come back here to our own self and heart, you know. But also after a cleansing period, you know, after an emptying out of what, you know, is really more like veils or obstructions, you know, or dust on the mirror is another image that's used. Yeah, but go ahead, you know, is there more that you want to say?
No, just this. I was talking with my brother here last week, mm-hmm. about the Prophet Muhammad, and I do have a very strong connection with Jesus.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I see. Oh, you know, but that's good.
Things, Jesus.
So follow Jesus, you know. Follow Jesus and learn about the Prophet. Because since you are, you know, directed by destiny to have taken hand here. And, you know, it's good to learn also who the owner, in a sense, of this path is. But the owner is not exclusive. The owner is who is the prophet, but he's attended, surrounded by all the prophets. They are all part of this path. So this is why it's called universal Islam. So all the messengers, we can follow any messenger to the truth. So please, you know, follow the beloved Jesus. Follow him and love him even more, I would say, and go even more deeply into his truth. And you will not find him separate from the Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing, you know. As we go to one, we will find them, that one, together, you know, with all of them. Yeah. You know, Allah is infinite, and so each of these messengers will be, is a universe. And yet, you know, you come to a same essence within each. But many, many Sufis have been followers of Jesus. Many, many Sufis, yeah. In fact, it's said that every person is in a way a follower of one of the prophets. And so even if people are born Islamic, Muslim, but each one of them is in a sense under the guidance and has a heart connection to one of the prophets. But what we, you know, yeah, so enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. You know, Jesus is said to be the head of the tariqah, of the level of tariqah, you know, of the level of undertaking the path of purification and emptying ourselves out and having the humbleness and being humble like the earth. And, you know, detaching ourselves from what is not really worthy. So he's the head of that particular path. And also filling ourselves with love. You know, the level of tariqah is also the level of love. And love for God, where it becomes increasingly powerful in our being. And love then for each other. Because as we love God, we cannot but help to love each other. Yeah? He's like a raga singer. He's starting his... Are you a raga singer? He said, yeah. Oh, sweetie. Yeah. When I first met Muzaffar Effendi, I literally saw him as Jesus. He was Jesus. And the disciples were the dervishes, you know. And it was such a strong impression. It stayed with me for a couple of weeks. So it wasn't like, oh, I meet someone who's like Jesus or reminds me. No, I thought, oh my God, this is Jesus here. Living spirit of Jesus, the living light of Jesus. That's what the great sheikhs are. They embody that light of Jesus to, you know, open the tombs, so resurrect dead hearts. That's what they're about. And bring them back home. Yeah, Kamala.
I know it's a big subject, but for some reason my heart is hungry tonight to hear a few of your thoughts regarding the female aspect, women in Islam, and how you feel our part is maybe as contemporary women within this umbrella, how you, your heart might be speaking to you as far as what our role is and our part to play. And
Well, I mean, I feel that it's a time today where every human being is called upon, female and male, and called upon to manifest the divine essence within, you know. So, and that is what will help humanity, help the human family to get out of the pit that we're in, you know. It's an apparent pit, but it's still a pit. I mean, and so absolutely, I feel that women need to become vessels of the path. We were just speaking of that earlier, as well as the brothers. They need to stand side by side. And to take on responsibilities of the tradition, and that the women, the whatever is given in the feminine soul, needs to speak and be accepted and welcomed and allowed, you know, into the arena, which has been very much a male arena. We know the religions, all the religions. There are very few that have not been dominated by a male energy. And again, not to just distinguish genetically, it's more of you know, energy thing. So, but that women have be side by side with the men. That's my what seems very important for me at this time. And I think the difficulties we're in right now, and the difficulties in the Islamic world, I feel come in great part because the woman's voice is missing. Even if we find a word for something, I mean, think of a word like love, to go from the word to the actuality, and then to go from the actuality to a way to communicate that, you know, that would, and of course we use words, but maybe an expression might even be more powerful.